With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Here we are. Good morning, Pittsburgh. Good morning, Pitt fans. Welcome to the Panthers Insider Show on Sports Radio 93.7, the first college football Saturday of the year here in Pittsburgh. And I never thought that I'd be welcoming you in to a Panthers Insider Show on the morning of the first college football Saturday here in Pittsburgh, at least in the calendar year of 2020. There was a pretty long stretch of time there where I didn't think you and I would be having this conversation here. Not on September 12th, not on September 5th, not on September anything, or October anything, or November, or December. I didn't think we would be talking about this. I thought we would spend the bulk of the fall talking about a potential spring season and guys who might play or might not play. I thought we'd spend the bulk of the fall talking about whether or not college basketball was going to happen. I thought we'd spend the bulk of the fall doing such sports radio hits as which player would you add from the past and who's on your Mount Rushmore of Pitt offensive tackles. That's what I thought we would be doing. And man alive, we would find a way to make it through it. We would find a way to power forward. You know, just like we did for the last 6 months with no college football on the horizon when we didn't think it was going to happen. And I mean, let's be honest here. You know, who among us genuinely believed, if I had asked you on June 15th or May 15th or July 15th, who really believed 100% with total conviction that we would be at this point right now that we are at, where we are hours away from the start of the college football season here in Pittsburgh? And maybe you guys are out there. Maybe you're out there saying, yeah, I knew all along they were going to play. You know, Pat Narduzzi would claim that he had confidence all along, that he was certain that Pitt was going to play this season, that football was going to happen. At least that's what he tells us publicly. And I don't see, you know, I mean, I think if you are a college football coach, you need to maintain that stance the whole way through. He needed to have 100% confidence all summer long so he could get the players to practice and work at the level that you need to practice and work if you're going to have a successful season. Even if there was a 1% chance of the season happening, Pat Narduzzi and the coaching staff and any college coach worth anything had to push forward as if there was a 100% chance. This is like the Cheney doctrine, isn't it? You have to treat a 1% chance like a 100% chance. I mean, that's what Pat Narduzzi did over the summer. That's what Pat Narduzzi needed to do over the summer, and that's led us to this point. But I wonder about Pat Narduzzi if he really was 100% confident. If you could get him in a moment of candor, a moment of honesty, if he would, you know, and you asked him in June or even in mid-July, you said, do you really think this is going to happen? I don't think you would have had a lot of confidence. I think there were other coaches on Pitt's staff who didn't have a lot of confidence, but they soldiered through and they powered through because they had to practice as if the season was going to happen just on the chance that it did happen. And my confidence level sunk pretty low over the last few months. You know, July, sub 20%, sub 15% into August, particularly that weekend when whenever it was when the Big Ten and Pac-12, when it first started getting reported they were going to cancel. I mean, I was sub 10% on this season happening. But here we are. The ACC power through, the SEC power through, the Big 12 power through, and all three of them did it together, and they had the strength in numbers. And now the Big 10 is, you know, subject to all kinds of internal turmoil and civil war. The Pac-12 might be, I don't know, and nobody really cares about the Pac-12, at least out here. Do you ever notice that? I mean, all the conversations right now are about the Big Ten. You know what I mean? It's all about what Ryan Day is saying, or Harbaugh, or Franklin, or any of these guys. That's all, you know, that's all anybody cares about. Nobody cares what's going on in the Pac-12. It's an afterthought that the Pac-12 canceled. It's just kind of a funny observation on the landscape of college football. But the ACC and the SEC and the Big 12 said, we're going to do it. We're going to make it happen. And when they came out and said that, it increased my confidence level slightly, but not a lot, because I thought, well, that's nice. That's good. Good for them being confident. Good for them for having resolve and really pushing forward and realizing that there was no need to cancel in mid-August, that you could push it until the last week of August, first week of September, before you really needed to cancel your whole season. And then you only really needed to shift your schedule around. You really didn't need to cancel the whole season, probably till the end of September. And good on the ACC, good on the SEC, and good on the Big 12 for recognizing that. Because that sort of foresight that they didn't need to cancel in mid-August is what led them to this point, where they got to a point where they said, you know what, we actually can make this work. And by God, they're going to walk out there this afternoon. Pitt is going to make it work. They're going to try, at least. And I think there are a lot of ways that things can fall apart. I think there are a lot of ways that things can go wrong. You know, we already saw games canceled, and, you know, some were canceled because of, you know, the coaches didn't feel like their teams had enough practice time or whatever it was. I mean, there are going to be games canceled this season. There are going to be high-profile players who have to sit out, either due to a positive test or, you know, potential exposure. I mean, that's going to happen this season. And there are going to be games canceled because of the situation. I believe that. Are there going to be games that involve Pitt? I don't know. You know, how many will be canceled? I don't know. How are they going to make that up? How are they going to react when those things happen? I don't know. But it'll happen. But for now, it's all systems go. It's play ball. And like I said on Twitter this week, I said, you know, it'll be nice just for a little while that we can, you know, all get annoyed about bad sports takes instead of bad pandemic takes. But Pitt opens the season this afternoon. 4 o'clock is the start of the game, hosting Austin Peay in the 2020 season opener. The pregame show starts at 2 o'clock. And then I think before that even, Bob Pompiani, Paul Zeiss, and Doran Dickerson are all going to be right here on The Fan at 1 o'clock talking about the game, getting you ready for Pitt against the Governors of Austin Peay. Jeff Hathorn and Larry Richard and Pat Bostick will be handling the pregame show that starts at 2 o'clock. I'll probably pop in there at some point and chat with those guys, maybe over the phone, even though I'm just going to be down the hall from them in the press box at Heinz Field. I'll pop in and have a conversation with those guys. And, you know, it'll be like a regular game day. I mean, if you imagine that it was a home game taking place and you couldn't make it, so you had to stay home and watch on TV or listen on the radio, it'll be like a regular game day. You have all your pregame stuff right here on The Fan. You can listen to the broadcast right here on The Fan if you can't watch it on the ACC network. Of course, being in the stadium is going to be a little different. Media will be in there. We'll be in the press box to cover the game and, you know, do our job in that regard, but not going to be anybody in the stands, and that's going to be weird to see. Pat Narduzzi seemed to say on Thursday that they're going to pipe in crowd noise. We'll see what that turns out to be like. But I'm at a point right now, and I think you probably are too, that even if you're disappointed that you can't attend the game, and, you know, there's a bit of disappointment for me that the game day procedures are going to be different. There are going to be things that we've always done, you know, in terms of reporting on the game that we're not going to be able to do. And, you know, it's certainly going to be weird not having fans there. But for all those sort of frustrations or annoyances, I think I'm willing to accept it to get some football. And I think you probably are too, right? I think you're probably willing to accept it in order to get some football. Because it's going to be weird. It's going to be bizarre. It's going to be unlike anything we've ever seen before. And it's going to be a year that will always stand out in memory. But, you know, man, weird football is better than no football. That's kind of my take right now. And maybe the best thing is we kind of hone in on Pitt here specifically, because that's our focus today, right? Is Pitt 2020 football and what this game today should look like and what this season will look like. And as we hone in on Pitt, you know, I feel like we talked a lot this summer as the prospect of the season getting canceled was very real and really looming over everything we discussed. I mean, I remember talking in April and May. Remember, we put this Panthers Insider show on hiatus for a little bit. And then when we came back, I said, you know, I know a lot of people don't have much confidence in the season being played, but we're going to push forward as if it is being played. You know, until they tell us the season's canceled, we're going to keep talking about the season as if it will be played. And one of the things we talked about throughout the summer was that if the season was canceled, it would really be a disappointment because Pitt has one of its best teams in quite some time. You know, you've got so many important pieces of a very good defense back. You've got a lot of guys back on offense who are all going to be a year older with a year more experience and a year more physically developed and physically mature. You add in some pretty impressive pieces. I mean, this is a team that should have a lot of success, that should be able to win a lot of games. Put it on the 12-game schedule that they had originally for 2020 with Duke, North Carolina, and Virginia. Put that schedule, give that schedule to this team, you know, a schedule that doesn't include Clemson. And, you know, there was a chance to really win some games, win a lot of games. And we said it was really going to be a disappointment if that season got canceled, if Pitt missed out on its best chance at a really successful season in a long time, if they missed out on it because the season got canceled. But now the season is happening. Of course, it's happening with a tougher schedule than what they had before. They have to go to Clemson. They get a trip to Georgia Tech as opposed to playing here. They get Boston College back on the schedule after playing them again last year. You know, they get Louisville on the schedule, which increases the degree of difficulty or strength of schedule, I guess you would say. But I mean, we talked all about that. We talked a lot about the schedule and everything like that. We get to see, the important thing is we get to see what this team can actually do, who this team actually is, what they're actually made of. You know, instead of spending the next 10 years saying, boy, if that 2020 team could have just played, if their season didn't get canceled, whoo-wee, how good would they have been? Well, we get to find out how good they would have been. And we get to find out how good they are. And I think everybody's really interested to find out about that. That was something Pat Narduzzi said on Thursday. He said, you know, he feels like his players want to find out how good they really are. And he said that he is, you know, his coaches want to find out what kind of team they really have. Because you can form every opinion you've got when you're hitting yourself in practice. You know, when you're just practicing Pitt versus Pitt in training camp the whole time, you can come up with all kinds of ideas about how good you think you might be. But the reality is you're not going to find out until you go out and actually face another team. And we'll get only some indication in this Austin Peay game here this afternoon. I mean, obviously, if they don't play well, then we can make some real judgments then. If they play really well, then we'll all be reserving our judgment until, you know, the Syracuse game, or the Louisville game, or so on down the line. But you can only gauge so much from seeing yourself practice against yourself. You got to get out and do it in games. And finally, in, you know, what is seemingly an improbable fashion, this Pitt team is getting a chance to go out and do it. We'll get to see them this afternoon. I'm looking forward to it. I'm excited. It's the start of the morning. It's, you know, a little after 8 o'clock. It's a long time to go. Still got another 7 hours until this thing kicks off. Can't wait though. Looking forward to it. So we've got plenty to talk about right here on the Panthers Insider Show. This is like your first pregame. There's three pregame shows for this game. This is your first one. This is the pregame to the pregame to the pregame right here. Starting you off at 8 a.m. So we'll have you for this hour here, 8 until 9. Getting everything ready for Pitt Austin Peay this afternoon, talking about this Pitt Panthers team, who they are, what they need to be, who needs to play well, what they need to achieve this season. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back here on the Panthers Insider Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to Panthers Insider Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Chris Peek from PantherLair.com talking with you this morning until 9 a.m. about Pitt sports, specifically Pitt football, more specifically today's game against Austin Peay. Although, you know, I should say, we've got a whole hour here to talk about Pitt sports. We got a lot of things to say about this Pitt football team, a lot of things to talk about with this Pitt football team. As it relates to this game specifically today, though, I don't have a lot of insight on the Govnas, okay? This should be a game. This is a game where the entire focus is on Pitt. The focus is on seeing what Pitt can do, who they use, what their personnel looks like, and what they're able to do. Because we know this, that Pitt has not always gone out and blown the doors off of FCS opponents. We know that Pat Narduzzi in particular has not always blown the doors off of FCS opponents. We know that Pat Narduzzi has liked to hold things back and try not to show too much in the opener against an FCS opponent. He went to overtime against Youngstown State, what, 3 years ago. You know, Albany was sort of a win, and it was 33-7 or something like that in 2018. You know, they beat Villanova in 2016, like 28-7, but it was a lackluster effort. It was enough to win, and that was pretty much all that mattered. I suspect Paterduzzi is going to go into this game today with sort of the same mindset of just win. That's all that matters. And he even said that earlier in the week, basically that they're going to go into the game with an idea of what they want to do on offense, and they're going to try and hold back a certain amount and not show too much and all those things. You know how Narduzzi tends to do. And then if they get into the third quarter or whenever and they need to break some more things out, they will. I don't like that. I say go out and light them up. I say go out and pour it on. Give the fans something to be excited about heading into, you know, the next game against Syracuse. It's not like it's going to boost attendance or anything like that, but you can at least just give something to be excited about. Give the fans something to be a little riled up about. That's about the extent of my analysis on this game. I'm far more interested in this team, its players, and this season. So we'll be right back after the update to talk more about Pitt Football 2020, since it's actually here, folks, on the Panthers Insider Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the Panthers Insider Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. I'm Chris Peake from PantherLair.com, talking to you until 9 a.m. this morning. You should know that website, by the way. I didn't really mention it in the first couple segments there. Panther-Lair.com, Pittsburgh.Rivals.com. It's the most comprehensive source of Pitt sports news on the internet, football, basketball, recruiting. You can find it all at Panther-Lair.com. And, of course, we have message boards, which I actually think the message boards are going to be really important this season. When fans aren't able to go to games, I mean, at least the September games so far, it's been announced that they're not going to fans are not going to be able to attend those games at Heinz Field. And so everybody's going to be watching from home, and, you know, and hopefully you have the ACC network and you're able to watch the games. If you don't, you can listen right here on 93.7 The Fan. Jeff Hathorn will have the call with Pat Bostic and Larry Richard later this afternoon. And so, you know, definitely tune in there. But you're watching a game on TV, you're listening to a game on the radio. What's the thing you're missing? Like, what's that element you're missing that you're not going to get, you know, when you're not at the game, when you're not at the stadium? It's talking to other fans. It's talking to hundreds and thousands of other people. You know, you might have a few people in your basement. You might be sitting outside, set up a projector screen or something like that, and you might interact with other fans that way. But it's not going to be like it is on the PantherLair.com message boards, where you have the most ardent fans, the most diehard, passionate fans, and they're all going to be on there talking about the game as it happens. We'll have our game thread going, which we do every week during the season. We have that game thread, and people are in there talking about the game. I mean, this is where you want to be during the games this season, because we'll have notes and news and tidbits and just fan interaction. You want to say, you know, what the heck was that call? Or, boy, he made a great catch. Or did anybody else notice this play or that play? You get in the game thread, you get on the message boards, and people are talking about it. That's the place to go to have conversations with other Pitt fans about the game as it's happening. And then, of course, after the game, too. You have conversations there for hours, you know, days after the game. Panther-Lair.com, Pittsburgh.Rivals.com. So go check that out. Make sure you check out the website. That's, you know, that's why we're here. This radio show, this little hour that we do every Saturday mornings at 8 a.m. is really kind of, it's an extension of the site. You know what I mean? It's everything we've discussed and brought up and reported through the week kind of condensed into 1 hour of radio. So if you like this Panthers Insider show, go check out PantherLair.com. And one of the biggest things, of course, I think everybody talks about in the run-up to a season opener, whether there's a pandemic or it's just your regular old normal season, one of the biggest things people talk about is season projections, season predictions, season expectations. And I always feel like there are two questions, right? It's kind of almost three. One is, what do you think the record will be? Two is, what do you think the record should be? And then three, which may be the same as two, and possibly might not be the same thing, is, what does the record need to be in order for you to consider the season a success? Now, we're in Pittsburgh. We're in the city of Pittsburgh. And for every sports team in the city of Pittsburgh, success only comes when you win the very last game, when you are the champion. You know, Steelers to make the AFC Championship game and lose are not successful. I've been around those seasons. I've watched those seasons. I've watched those seasons as a fan, and I've watched those seasons even a little bit more detached. And I can tell you, you know, I've observed my own reactions to the 2001 AFC title game or the 2004 AFC title game, and I know that I did not consider those seasons to be a success. The freaking 2004 Steelers went 15-1 in the regular season. They won 14 games in a row, and I was livid when they lost to the Patriots. That was not a successful season. I watched tennis rather than the Super Bowl. You know, I turned my attention entirely to the Australian Open. I was so livid about that game. That was not a success. You can look at the Penguins, and you can look at the Pirates, and you can look at Pitt basketball. I mean, think about Pitt basketball. Think about the depths to which Pitt basketball had sunk, and then the success they achieved in the 2000s, right? That first decade of this century, when the Sweet 16 was sort of a regular thing. But it wasn't good enough around here. Not once was, you know, maybe other than the first time, but even then. You know, I mean, even when they lost to Dwayne Wade, it wasn't good enough. It wasn't a success. The season was not viewed as a success because they fell short. The year they lost to Villanova when they you know, in the Elite Eight, that season was not viewed as a success. We look back and say that was Pitt's best season, but you would not at the time, and even not still, you will not find people who call that a success. So the barometer for what constitutes a successful season, I mean, it's kind of hard because around here in this town, it's championship or bust. And I can't entirely fault fans for wanting championships. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But it's championship or bust. So you have to address, you have to add some context when you talk about what a season needs to be in order to be successful. I feel like if you start with that last one, more so than record, for this season to be a success, Pitt has to make the ACC championship game. And that's a tall bar. That's a high bar to shoot for. Because they're going to have to be pretty good on a consistent basis. And I've talked about this. I've broken down the schedule. I've written it about it a bunch of times. I've talked about it a bunch of times. I really believe it. I think there are three segments to this schedule where you've got Syracuse, NC State, Boston College, Georgia Tech as the four games you really should win. And I'm just talking about the conference games here. And then on the other end of the spectrum, you've got Notre Dame and Clemson as the games that are going to be really tough to win. And then in the middle, you've got four toss-up games, Virginia Tech, Louisville at home, and Florida State and Miami on the road. And to me, I think you need to win eight games in the conference to have a real shot at Charlotte, you know, to give yourself a really good chance of making it to the ACC title game. To win eight games in the conference, you're probably going to need to sweep those four toss-up games, those four games against teams that are more or less on the same level as you right now. And to sweep those four toss-up games, you're going to have to be a good team. You're going to have to play well consistently. We know that, you know, winning football games, it's not always about which team is better. It's about which team is better that day. And so in these games, particularly in these games against teams that are more or less on the same level as you, which is what I would say Virginia Tech is and Louisville is, and in their current states, Florida State and Miami, to win those games against teams that are on roughly the same level as you, you really have to be the better team that day. Virginia Tech was not four touchdowns better than Pitt last season. On the whole, in 2019, they were not. But that day, they were. You need to be the better team that day four times against teams that are really kind of evenly matched with you. You know, different strengths, different weaknesses, but overall, it seems, as we look in the preseason, evenly matched. That's going to be tough to do. That's going to be a real challenge. But that's why I think, you know, the highest bar is what would be considered a success. It would be winning those games and making it to the ACC championship game. Well, what about what will happen and what we think should happen? We'll talk about that when we come back here on the Panthers Insider Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the Panthers Insider Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Chris Peek, PantherLair.com, talking about season expectations in 2020. And we'll jump right back into it, pick up the conversation where we left off. You know, I said there's three things you can really talk about when you talk about season expectations, just what you think will happen, what you think should happen, you know, what you think the team is really capable of, and then what you think the team needs to do in order to have what you would classify as a successful season. And there might be overlap between number two and number three there, what you think should happen, what you think a team should be capable of, and then what you think a team, you know, needs to do to have a successful season. I say that I think a successful season would be, I think if you want to call it a success, they have to make it to the ACC championship game. You know, if they do that, even if they lose to Clemson in the ACC title game, if they get there, I'm calling it a success. I think that, and anything short of that, if they don't make it there, it's not a success. It doesn't mean it's a bad season, but it's not a success. So the other two questions then of what will happen and what should happen, I went back and forth on which way to approach it. I would say what I think will happen. I'm thinking that in the ACC, they go 7-3. That's what I believe. I think they'll go 7-3. I think they'll lose, you know, probably losses to Clemson and Notre Dame, and then one of those other games, probably one of those four toss-up games, Florida State, Miami, Virginia Tech, or Louisville. Now, I mean, the upside is that means you're going to win three out of those four games, and we certainly can't rule out the possibility of knocking off Notre Dame. You know, and I mean, we saw what happened the last time Pitt went to Clemson, although it's probably unlikely to repeat. But I think that's probably what they should be capable of, is going 7-3 in the ACC, 8-3 overall. And I think that would be a perfectly good season. Not what I would put in the category of a successful season, but a good season. Now, what do I think will happen? Well, that's a different conversation. No, that's what I... darn it. I got myself mixed up. I have these stupid categories, and I got all jammed up on it. What I think will happen, I think they'll go 7-3 in the ACC and 8-3 overall. That's my prediction on the season, is an 8-3 record. What do I think should happen? I think I kind of overlap with what I think needs to be a successful season, and that's going 8-2 in the ACC. I think at a certain point, now like I said, going 8-2 means you're going to have to sweep Virginia Tech, Virginia Tech, Louisville, Florida State, and Miami. And that's going to be challenging to do. But I think there comes a point in time where you do need to have that season where you go out and sweep those teams that are equal with you. All right, we got to get to an update. When we come back, we'll talk more about this record prediction thing. I'll get all my numbers sorted out, and we'll talk about what this team should accomplish in 2020, and maybe more importantly, how they can get it done. When we come back on the Panthers Insider Show, Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back to the Panthers Insider Show here on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Chris Peek from PantherLair.com talking Pitt sports with you here as the season's about to start. Improbable as it may be, folks, we are on the verge of Pitt's 2020 season, a little more than 7 hours away from kickoff. It's pretty amazing. Austin Peay, 4 p.m. kickoff at Heinz Field. You can hear it right here on 93.7 The Fan. Pre-game starts at 2 o'clock. Pre-game show starts at 1 o'clock. So tune in here on The Fan and enjoy it throughout the afternoon. This is like your pre-game show. Right here on Saturday morning at 8 a.m., the Panthers Insider Show. So it's good to be talking with you this morning. And we've been talking about predictions and expectations for this season. And I think my prediction is that this team will go 8-3. I think they'll go 7-3 in the ACC. That's my, I think, relatively safe prediction that avoids kind of any major letdowns. I think any really bad losses. Is how it should play out. Now, that's not necessarily what I think that would be a good season. And I kind of made a distinction in the last segment talking about a good season versus what you would really consider a successful season. And I think to have a successful season, you need to go to the ACC championship game. Now, that's going to be a little bit harder. I think that's going to require you to go 8-2 in the ACC, you know, 9-2 overall. What are they going to need to do to go 8-2 in the ACC? They got to win the four should-win games of Syracuse, NC State, Boston College, and Georgia Tech. And then unless they upset Notre Dame or Clemson, which you can't rule out entirely, but unless they do that, they got to sweep those four toss-up games in the middle, Virginia Tech, Louisville, Miami, and Florida State. And those games aren't going to be easy. You know, I mean, those are I call those toss-up games because I think that's genuinely what they are. They could go either way. And it's really going to be about which team, you know, is the better team that day. Who shows up ready to play? You know, I think there is a talent advantage for Pitt over Syracuse, over NC State, over Georgia Tech, over Boston College. I don't think there's a huge advantage one way or the other between Pitt and Virginia Tech, between Pitt and Louisville, between Pitt and Miami, between Pitt and Florida State. And so that means Pitt's going to have to come out ready to play every game, play four consistent quarters in order to sweep those four teams. And it's not going to be easy. I mean, it's going to be a challenge. How can they do it, though? You know, what does Pitt need to do to get to Charlotte, to play in the ACC championship game for the second time in 3 years? Well, and I hate this because this is stupid football guy analysis. They need to score more points. And it is stupid football guy analysis. You know, the team that scores the most points is going to be the one that comes out and wins the day. But you know what? Pitt's offense was so bad last year. And Pitt's offense cost them at least two wins last year. Pitt's offense turned them from a 9-3 regular season team to a 7-5 regular season team. I put that solely on the offense. Boston College and Miami, no matter what you want to say about that last, you know, that fourth quarter touchdown drive that Miami had, or A.J. Dillon finally breaking loose in the Boston College game, you know, they gave up 16 points to Miami, 26 points to Boston College. You give up 26 and 16, you should go 2-0 in those games. You should win those games, especially when you only give up 16 points. You got to win those games. The offense let them down. The offense played like crap. And that happened throughout the season. 8 out of their 13 games, they scored 20 points or less. You can't be a competitive college football team, a competitive Power 5 conference team, and score 20 points or less in 8 out of your 13 games and expect to have a good record. There are, in some regards, you look back at last season and say, it's almost a minor miracle that they went 8-5. Given how bad and how ineffective and how unproductive their offense was. They couldn't run the ball to save their lives. They were totally inefficient in the passing game. They couldn't do anything in the red zone. And more, you know, most of all, and this sort of encompasses everything together, they shot themselves in the foot over and over and over again. And I talked about this throughout the season last year. I've talked about it throughout the offseason, so I won't spend too much time on this. But I put together a list of correctable mistakes, dropped passes, fumbles, whether you recover them or the other team recovers them, fumbles. I'm counting because if you fumble, even if you get it back, that halted your progress. So drop passes, fumbles, interceptions, and procedure penalties. Pitt's offense had 104 of those plays, those correctable mistakes, those shoot yourself in the foot errors over the course of 13 games last year. That's 8 per game. 8 times every game, they shot themselves in the foot. They just gave the other team an advantage. How many drives were stalled? How many possessions produced no points? How much momentum was lost just by stupid, correctable mistakes? And so if we want to address this question of how can Pitt become the consistent team that could go out and win 8 games in the ACC this year, to me, it boils down to that. They've got the experience on offense. I think they've got the talent on offense. I think they're good enough. They might not have the best skill players in the ACC, but they're good enough. They might not have the best offensive line in the ACC or the best quarterbacks in the ACC or the best tight ends in the ACC, but they're good enough. They just have to be less bad. Stop shooting yourself in the foot. Stop making those correctable mistakes. If I've had one theme or mantra this offseason, it's this. Pitt's offense just has to be a little bit better. This defense is legit. They are. They are for real. And some people have tried to talk back, walk it back a little bit. Well, you know, maybe they weren't that good last year. No, they were that good last year. That defense was good enough to win more than 8 games last year. And they're going to be good enough to win more than 8 games this year, even on an 11-game schedule. The offense just has to get a little bit better. And if they do, this team can win. this team can win. All right. One more break, then we'll come back and wrap up the show, send you into the rest of the day here on the Panthers Insider Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. Welcome back, Panthers Insider Show, final segment here as we get close to wrapping up our hour. Where does the time go? Where does the time go in this hour? Where does the time go in the last 6 months? I mean, I can't say the last 6 months have gone by fast, but it's sort of unbelievable that we're already here. You know, and maybe a part of that is due to the fact that I never thought we'd actually get here. But here we are, you know, roughly 7 hours away from the kickoff pit season opener against Austin Peay. I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be nice to, even if it's not what a normal game would be in terms of fan and game day procedures and what we're able to do at the stadium and all that kind of stuff, it's just going to be nice to get back into Heinz Field, back into the press box, watching a game covering this team, you know? I'm looking forward to it. They really should have no problem with Austin Peay today. They should be able to do what they want to do on offense. They should be able to run it up. And quite frankly, they shouldn't have a lot of trouble with Syracuse either. I think those bottom four teams that they have to play, Syracuse, NC State, Georgia Tech, and Boston College, they really shouldn't have trouble with them. And I know they lost to Boston College last year. And I know the Georgia Tech game was really close last year. But I have to believe this offense gets a little bit better. You know, I think Kenny Pickett is a third-year starter. I think all these offensive linemen coming back with experience. I think this skill position group, particularly the receivers, is going to be really upgraded. I think Lucas Kroll is going to be an upgrade to the offense at the tight end position. I just think this offense gets a little bit better, and they're able to score just a little bit more to give themselves a little bit of a cushion. So if the defense gives up a drive late in the game like they did against Miami or like they did against Boston College or like they did against Duke in a game that they ended up winning, it's not the end of the world. You know, give your defense a little bit of a margin for error. Give your defense a little bit of room to make some mistakes here and there by scoring some more points. And I think they're going to do it. Now, is that going to translate to 8 wins in the conference? I don't know. We'll find out. I think they'll get 1 win today, though. I think they'll beat Austin Peay, and then we'll, cross the next bridge once we get to it. But thanks so much for tuning in this morning. It's been fun talking Pitt football with you here on The Fan. Make sure you stay tuned to the website, pantherlair.com. Stay tuned to The Fan for the rest of the day to listen to the game. 4 o'clock kickoff, Jeff Hathorn will have you covered with the action. And then we'll talk to you again next Saturday morning to recap that game and get ready for Syracuse. So stay right here, and we will talk to you next Saturday. Have a great week. It's the Panthers Insider Show on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan.